Jim Mangan and Max Skelton met with Louis Salas on Thursday, September 23rd at Salas' home, and the former chairman, precinct chairman of Box 13 in Alice, Texas, described much of the details of incidents surrounding the 1948 controversy over the election of that resulted in Lyndon Johnson being certified as senator-elect from Texas. He said that he had been the precinct judge since 1942, and that it had long been traditional that the returns from that area were very one-sided in favor of the candidate that was the choice of the party in power in the area. Quotation, one candidate would get 4,000 votes and the other 20. That was just the way it was, end quote. Mr. Salas said that prior to the Democratic primary of 1948, after the Democratic primary of 1948, he was told to stall or delay the counting of votes from Box 13. Quotation, they wanted us to wait until the entire state had been counted. All the rest of the state, end quote. He said that this delaying tactic continued about 3 days. At the end of which he was called to a meeting in the office of George Parr in George Parr's home in San Diego. He said attending the meeting, in addition to himself, were George Parr, Lyndon Johnson, and the fourth party, I forget the name. He said the discussions centered around the need for additional votes, and at one point Johnson was asked how many votes were needed, and Johnson replied, I need 200 more, 200 more votes would put me over, end quote. Mr. Salas said that he refused to have anything to do with in effect stuffing the ballot box, but that he would not interfere or would go along with the normal counting of the ballots at the proper time. And he said that at that time George Parr stated, that's all right, I know someone who can deliver or take care of the votes. the additional 200 ballots, end quote. Mr. Sala said that the no trouble finding 200 additional names, and that from the poll list of people who had not voted, and that it was a procedure that was quite common that had been carried out over the years, but never before beyond the state election level, never into a federal level, such as the U.S. Senate. Mr. Silas was reluctant to reveal the name of the man who actually stuffed the ballot. Of the federal investigation later in the Jim Wells County Courthouse at Alice, Mr. Silas said, quote, "The county chairman lied, I lied, everybody lied." He said that during the hearings, he told Coke Stevenson that it had been traditional, so to speak, that the favored candidate would receive an overwhelming majority. Quotation, "I told him, you had the votes before, but you weren't the favored candidate this time." Mr. Salas said that as the proceedings continued, there was indication that the investigation was swinging toward in favor of Stevenson. And he said that Harry Truman had been campaigning in San Antonio and had left at 10 a.m. in one morning by train, and that George Parr, Ed Leach, Mr. Atchison, then a city councilman at Alice, at one other party, met the train, rushed to Corsicana, Texas, and boarded the train and conferred with President Truman. I was told that President Truman then called Justice Hugo Black, who issued the order, then issued the order stopping the investigation. The telegram stopping the investigation arrived at the Alice Courthouse at 3 p.m. that afternoon, end quote. Mr. Salas said a ranger, Texas Ranger, served him with a subpoena appearing at to appear at the investigation hearing. Quotation, "I told him that paper wasn't necessary, that I would be there at 9 a.m. the next morning, but the sons of bitches put two rangers, one in front of the house and one in the back of the house, on my house that night. I told him I wasn't scared of them, but I actually was scared." End quote.
But on the field,
Mr. Silas said he discontinued all interest in politics in 1950. He said that he was reluctant to reveal the name of the man who actually stuffed the ballot box because the man's son is now a lawyer in Alice, and that he was positive the son would slap him with a damage suit. In fact, there are two men in Alice who would damn sure sue me. He said the book that he has written on the Box 13 situation is now written in Spanish, is now in Mexico, but he would not indicate where in Mexico nor who has possession of the document. Quotation, "I'm not going to satisfy your curiosity," quotation, he answered when asked if he could say who had the novel, as he refers to it, or book rather.
From Lexington Green to Independence Hall to deep space, the nation's bicentennial coins honor historic milestones of our freedom and independence. Designed for our new quarters, half dollars and dollars, emerged from an historic nationwide competition in which we the people were invited to create coins of the land for we the people. For a keepsake 40% silver set of these historic coins, treasures today, heirlooms tomorrow, contact your financial institution or the United States Mint, Post Office Box 776, San Francisco.
Well, I gotta say, I'm disappointed. Today, we did not have a sports trivia winner. I guess the question was a little too tough for our experts today. Let me give it to you again. Okay, categories: pro football. All right, here it is. One of the most successful quarterbacks in pro football today is Kenny Stabler of the Oakland Raiders. He's a left-hander, a little unusual for pro quarterbacks, although a left-handed quarterback was once a superstar for the San Francisco 49ers. All right, here's the question again. Who was that left-handed quarterback? Okay, got it? Who was the left-handed quarterback? Answer: Frankie Albert. Remember him? I do. Nobody got this one. All right. Tomorrow is going to be the first day that we'll be able to tell the world that anybody's a sports trivia expert. Break out your almanacs.
Break, nine. This is Big Ben, KKS 5161, calling Midnight Cowboy, KKS 6598. You got your ears on?
There's a new language going down. It's the language of Citizens Band Radio. Ears means CB radio. And courtesy when breaking in on another channel is one of the first rules of the road.
Midnight Cowboy, looks like we got some savages on the line. They're bleeding all over us.
Savages means people who hog the channels. Be sure you broadcast in the center of the frequency band. When you don't, you bleed into or interfere with other conversations.
Roger, now I read you wall to wall. Hey, I'm in a broken thermos bottle. I'll give him a 20 and maybe you're over my shoulder.
That means that the line cleared and he needs help with a disabled tanker truck. He'll give his location in case the other person is nearby. This is one of the legitimate uses of Citizens Band, emergency and public service. It may also be used for business and personal need when there is no other available means of communication.
That's a Big Ten 4, good buddy.
And this is a consumer tip from the Electronic Industries Association. We talk your language.
Houston's weather, still have an air stagnation advisory in effect, unfortunately. Otherwise, clear to partly sunny through Tuesday. Continued hot in the afternoon. It's going to be warm again tonight. Slight chance of rain late this afternoon and early this evening. Mostly east and southeast winds, 6 to 12 miles an hour. High temperature this afternoon and tomorrow, mid-90s. Low tonight in the low 70s. Our chance of rain, 20% this afternoon and again this evening. Boating and recreation at risk for Galveston Bay and vicinity. Mostly south winds, 6 to 12 through Tuesday. Bay water smooth to slightly choppy. Relative humidity is standing at 60%. Winds out of the east at 8. Barometric pressure is falling at 30.00. Sunny skies, 87 on the beach at Galveston. In Houston, partly sunny and 91 degrees. All the news all day from Key Radio, News 85.
The tragedy of the Lebanese civil war goes on, and even the experts are not able to predict what the ultimate outcome will be. I'm Thelma Shedker. A conversation with one of those experts after this.
When you waste energy, you waste money. Your money.
Save money by taking the bus and walking and hiking for short distances.
If you must drive, drive smoothly. A motorist who travels at a steady rate gets up to 2 miles more per gallon, even in the city. A properly maintained car will save you even more.
The governor's office has lots of other energy-saving ideas in a free booklet. Write to Governor's Energy Advisory Council, Austin, Texas.
There are some 30 factions involved in the fighting in Lebanon, and that tends to complicate the situation somewhat. And it is a great deal more complicated than a simple Christian-Muslim right-wing-left-wing fight. I talked with Morris Draper, the U.S. State Department expert on Lebanon. The hope is that the ceasefire will lead to talks that will result eventually in a partnership of Christians and Muslims running the government. That in itself is a tragic paradox, since that's essentially what had been in effect before the outbreak of the war, an uneasy balance between Christians and Muslims, but a partnership nevertheless.
Though they work together very well in many ways, there is a growing dissatisfaction among the have-nots in particular. And the Muslims generally felt that they did not have the kind of share in the running of the government that their numbers deserve. It wasn't exactly a 50-50 arrangement. You see, the Christians had a certain control, a position of some dominance, always having the presidency, having a majority of seats in the parliament, things like this. Well, the population had changed, the proportion had changed over the years. But there was some dissatisfaction under the surface, and they were able to keep control of it. But also, Lebanon has run the most laissez-faire kind of government in the world, with very few social services out of the central government. Things like unemployment insurance, support for schools, and things like that were just unheard of there. And the have-nots felt that they had to have social and economic reforms in addition to political reforms. But what really sparked things off were not these differences. These were underneath the surface. What really sparked things off a year, 15, 16 months ago, was really the Christians, the Christian leadership feeling that they had to somehow get control of the Palestinians in the country. And there was a challenge.
And that challenge, of course, led to more and more problems, and ultimately the present civil war developed. I'm Thelma Shetker.
Wheels are ever spinning, shining sticks are catching sun. There are people seeking nature, seeking health and seeking fun.
Last year, over 15 million new bicycles were sold in the United States, and over 70 million are now in use. Studies show that the leading causes of bicycle accidents are loss of control, mechanical and structural problems, and the entanglement of foreign objects in the wheels. So, make sure your bicycle meets the new safety standard.
So cycle of America, a craftsman of the old, save a life that is riding on every bike.
More information, write Bicycles, Washington, D.C., 20207, the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission.
This reminder from Key Radio News 85, over 6,000 unwanted dogs and cats are born in Houston every month. Have your own pet spayed or neutered. Contact the Houston Humane Society at 14700 Alameda Road, 433-6421. Have a heart, save a life. It's up to you. Call 433-6421. Key Radio News Time, 1:24. Hurricane Belle sped past North Carolina's outer banks today and headed up the Atlantic toward New York and New England. The storm is on a path that will eventually take it over central or eastern Long Island if it doesn't change directions. The National Weather Service warned residents of coastal areas in New York and Long Island to evacuate. Flash flood warnings were issued for New York's Westchester and Rockland counties. New Jersey residents were alerted to prepare for possible evacuation of homes on pretty short notice. Officials have started evacuating residents of Long Island's shore residents in anticipation of the lashing 110-mile-an-hour winds and high tides of Hurricane Belle expected to hit the New York City area tonight. Suffolk County, Long Island, police said they'd received an order from County Executive John Klein to evacuate all persons on Fire Island. That's a 26-mile-long ribbon of land off the southern shore of Long Island, where the brunt of the storm is expected to hit. Authorities said 6,000 to 7,000 persons are believed to be on Fire Island. That's a very popular summer beach resort. Vice President Nelson Rockefeller says that the Ford administration has proved wrong the predictions that the U.S. was on the verge of losing its moral and economic world leadership. Rockefeller testified today before the GOP Platform Committee in Kansas City. Well, Rockefeller says that President Ford has been courageous and stable and has countered disillusionment, cynicism, and, in Rockefeller's own words, even fears about the future of our government at home. Agriculture Secretary Earl Butt says if Jimmy Carter becomes president, AFL-CIO President George Meany will become the shadow Secretary of Agriculture. Butt testified before the GOP Platform Committee, praising his own agricultural policy. Well, the earlier deterioration of prices on Wall Street has moderated a little bit. The market has regained about one-third of the ground lost, while volume remains moderate, and declines still lead advances by a spread of 3-2.
Trading remains light on the New York Stock Exchange, partly because of bad weather conditions in New York that may cause the market to close early. And the market is sinking lower with little buying interest to be found. Only about 10 million shares have crossed the big board so far, and declining issues are leading gainers by a margin of about 7-5. The big board composite index is off 0.15, and the Amex index is down 0.10. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is off 3.20 at 982.80. New York Stock Exchange officials are considering an early close today because of the bad weather hitting New York that is expected to get worse as the day progresses. The early closing would help cope with the storm conditions, but no decision has been reached. Both dealers in U.S. government securities and money market instruments in New York plan to close shortly. Sales of new single-family homes were up in June. Commerce Department spokesman Earl Cox explained.
Sales of new single-family homes increased in June to 48,300 following a 14% decline the previous month. Sales were 5% above a year ago. The typical price was $46,300, up 6% from June and 22% above a year ago.
Studebaker Worthington Incorporated reports that it has completed a merger of Wagner Electric Corporation and a wholly owned Studebaker subsidiary. Studebaker Worthington owned 88% of Wagner prior to the merger. And on the stock market, the Dow is off over 3 points and trading remains light. That's the Business Barometer. I'm Alan Chartel.
President Ford has one less name to consider for the number two spot in his ticket. Tennessee Senator Bill Brock announced today that he's withdrawing from consideration in favor of his colleague, Senator Howard Baker. Brock said the White House called him twice last Friday about the possibility of running, but said he felt it was unfair to leave his name in contention. And quote him here, particularly when I feel that Howard Baker is the best of all possible choices. Street battles flared across the confrontation lines of Beirut suburbs today, shattering the weekend calm of the 54th ceasefire. At the same time, newsmen in the southern port city of Tyre say a series of explosions sank a Greek freighter, with initial investigations pointing to sabotage. The Palestine Liberation Organization in Beirut claims that Israel is responsible for the sinking. New violence erupted today in South Africa, with police using gunfire to curb rioting black crowds in several areas outside of Johannesburg. Three persons were shot to death, raising to 12 the number of persons who have been killed since the black demonstrations began last Wednesday.
This is Key Radio News 85, reminding you that...
Okay, Arnie, this is the guy.
Quiet, please. We're on the air. Hey, I don't see anyone.
You don't see germs. I'm Salmonella.
And I am his giant body, Arnie. And we have a surprise for you. Your chicken salad sandwich? It's been laying around better than 2 hours.
Please, fellas, we've been playing those USDA food safety spots on Key. This is embarrassing. Give me a break.
We'll give you a tummy ache.
Or worse. It's the joint's creed.
The Senate has rejected an effort to delete from the $104 billion defense spending bill funds for non-nuclear warheads for the surface-to-surface Lance missile. The vote was 61-15. Opponents of the proposed deletion argued that conventional war capability for the Lance would reduce the possibility of a nuclear exchange in Europe. Houston's weather, we still have an air stagnation advisory remaining in effect, otherwise clear to partly sunny through Tuesday. High temperature this afternoon and tomorrow, mid-90s, low tonight in the low 70s. Sunny skies, 87 on the beach at Galveston here in Houston, partly sunny and 91 degrees. I'm John McLeod, Key Radio, News 85.
I'm Harley Kynes, Key Radio, News 85. In court today in a murder trial of a Weatherford man charged in the death of a nephew, a former British Prime Minister, Neville Chamberlain, 34-year-old Joseph Chamberlain. 28-year-old Paul Clifton Green is charged, and according to the prosecution, two of Chamberlain's co-workers found Green in the man's apartment hard at work, cleaning blood off the floor. They called police as Green escaped. He was later caught at a bar on Westheimer. About 2,800 members of the striking Electrical Workers Union are voting today on the latest contract proposal in their dispute with Houston Lighting and Power Company. We'll have a report on that in just a moment. City Council is planning to make it a requirement that new city employees live inside the city limits. Mayor Fred Hoffhines opposes that idea, and when announcing that opposition, he used the Intercontinental Airport as an example. Now the manager of the airport says it was a bad example, saying he doesn't know how many airport employees live outside the city, not many, and Bill Brackley says the residency requirement should not hurt future recruitment.
I haven't had any experience, of course, trying to hire under this type of restriction, and so I don't know. I don't anticipate that it would be a real obstacle. I think that there's probably enough people want to work at the airport that we would be able to recruit from people living within the city limits.
Brackley says it is not unreasonable to have to drive 20 to 25 miles to work at the airport. Lots of workers do it. 2,800 members, roughly, at the striking Electrical Workers Union are voting today on the latest contract proposal in their dispute with Houston Lighting and Power Company. Here's that report.
It's the fourth vote on the proposal for the union members who have been on strike for about 2 months, but some members of the local are pessimistic about this latest vote. One union member who asked to remain unidentified says most of this proposal is basically no different from others which were voted down.
One thing I can't understand why we got to come back down here and waste a whole day coming down here to vote on a nickel. That's the only difference in this change and the last change we had is a nickel, and then we came a nickel for a 10-year man. Is what they're offering. That's a change in a pay raise, right?
At issue in the dispute with the light company are hospitalization insurance, seniority and grievance procedure, and wages. The union reportedly is seeking a 10% pay hike. Some union members are saying this latest proposal will not pass and that they will keep on striking. Sarah Sharpless, Key Radio News, 85.
Three new bus routes hit the road today for UTRAN. Four specially equipped buses will serve the handicapped. Gary Roberts of UTRAN says the routes will run from the University of Houston, the Medical Center in downtown. Another run will be from Independence Hall, Goodwill, the Medical Center, and the University of Houston. And another will operate from downtown to the Medical Center. Meantime, Bob Geyer, the Coalition for Barrier-Free Living, says he's happy to see it.
Oh, it's really great. You know, it allows the elderly and handicapped in Houston that this stop makes to have a lot more mobility than they've ever had before, you know. Opens up a lot of new doors and lets them get out from where they've been.
Bob Geyer says further, the coalition has been working to get the new routes operating for more than a year now. So far as Harris County mosquitoes are concerned, the trucks will keep rolling and the airplanes will stay on the ground.
With the weekend discovery of the St. Louis encephalitis-carrying Culex mosquito near Wallaceville in the North Loop, the disease has now been found all across the northern half of Houston. Still, Mosquito Control Director Bob Barnett says it's not widespread enough to become alarmed. The idea of spraying by airplane to kill mosquitoes faster has been brought up to the district, but Barnett says that wouldn't make much difference because aircraft should be used where trucks can't go. He says Culex is a city-dwelling mosquito, and trucks are more effective, if somewhat slower, in controlling it. Barnett added that the trucks can roll at night and in bad weather when planes aren't effective. They are also more accurate and therefore economical than the planes, and county money is indeed tight. Doug Ross, Key Radio News, 85.
The mass swine flu immunization program is in a holding pattern. That's the word today from the Houston City Health Department. A spokesperson, Glenda Renner, says they've been contacting churches and there are plans to contact private doctors and companies with employee clinics to enlist their help in the mass program. Church response has been good, she says, and as soon as adequate support has been marshaled for the program, they'll be ready to start. What they need now, says Ms. Renner, is vaccine. And San Diego, Texas lawyer Nago Alanis has been found innocent of charges. He burglarized a Duval County Water District office to steal official records. A district court jury in Edinburgh returned the verdict yesterday after deliberating Friday afternoon, all day Saturday, and for about 2 hours yesterday morning, a total of more than 12 hours. Alanis was tried on a charge of burglarizing the Duval County Conservation and Reclamation District office in 1972. It's 1:35. I'm Harley Carnes, Key Radio News 85.
This is continuing news from Key Radio News 85. I'm John McLeod. Officials in Camden County, North Carolina, say torrential rains from Hurricane Belle were responsible for a truck-car crash this morning that killed three adults and two children. Belle has reported gathering speed. The most recent report places the eye of the storm some 70 miles out to sea and moving north at 25 miles an hour. In North Carolina, a hurricane watch has been dropped 4 points south of Cape Lookout, but warnings are posted from Cape Hatteras north to Virginia Beach, Virginia. Well, farther north, New England is preparing for the hurricane, which forecasters say could hit the area tonight with full force. Belle is carrying 110-mile-an-hour winds. Police on Long Island have told residents near the ocean to prepare to evacuate at a moment's notice. Similar precautions have been ordered along the coast into Connecticut, Rhode Island, and Massachusetts. Supreme Court Chief Justice Warren Burger says politicians have given people a false idea of what government can do for people, and he says that's led to expanded demands on judicial services. Burger spoke today to 15,000 judges and lawyers at the annual meeting of the American Bar Association in Atlanta. A published article says the Watergate break in May may have been triggered by fear that a link between the CIA and billionaire Howard Hughes might be disclosed. The story quotes a former Hughes aide as saying that in 1968, he was given a list of politicians the CIA wanted Hughes' company to provide with money. Among them, it says, was then-Congressman Gerald Ford. The copyright article is in the September issue of Playboy magazine. Secretary of State Kissinger is understood to have warned Pakistan of possible loss of U.S. economic aid and arms sales unless Pakistan agrees to safeguards involving nuclear materials. The United States is understood to be concerned about Pakistani plans to buy French equipment to reprocess used nuclear fuel. Kissinger, who just left Lahore, Pakistan, is understood to be demanding that Pakistan agree to safeguards to prevent its use for nuclear weapons. A senior U.S. official on Kissinger's plane said there will be no compromise as regards to the U.S. position. Kissinger's plane made a refueling stop at Tehran on the way to Paris.
My name is Sammy Davis, Jr., and today I'm speaking for the Texas Society for the Prevention of Blindness. You know, your child soaks up the world around him through his eyes. It's one of the most important avenues of learning and growth. But have you ever thought, what if the pictures aren't coming through clearly? You know, many a child has been labeled dull or a poor student because he's seeing the world through a blur. That's why your Society for the Prevention of Blindness puts so much emphasis on preschool vision screening. See, one child in 20 needs some vision correction before entering school. If your child hasn't had his or her vision tested, send for the home eye test. It's simple to use and it's free. You can get yours by writing to this address.
Prevention of Blindness, Box 13400, Houston 77019. That's Prevention of Blindness, Box 13400, Houston 77019.
Well, just the word to the wise for you protein freaks. If you want freezer beef, well, then you better buy it now. Economists at the Agriculture Department have some good news and some bad news. They report retail beef prices today are probably lower than they've been in a year. That's because cattlemen have been sending lots of beef to market this summer in an effort to even up the cattle pipeline from farmer to consumer. The beef production should stabilize, which farmers want, by the end of winter. To the consumer, this means beef prices should start to turn around, and as supply goes down, price will go up. The cattle business operates on about a four-year cycle, with farmers making a decision to raise more or fewer cattle than having that cycle end 4 years later. Cattlemen a year ago decided to cut their numbers, and in the year ahead, the real pinch of this decision will show up at the livestock market and at the grocery store. USDA says the prices to ranchers for grain-fed cattle should start rising this quarter and continue going up till the first 3 months of 77 when production increases again. The solution to this problem might be to buy lots of beef now while it's cheap and freeze it for eating later on. John Holloman, Washington. Vice President Rockefeller opened testimony today before the Republican Platform Committee in Kansas City by praising President Ford and Secretary of State Kissinger. Rockefeller told the group that there is new world confidence in the U.S. moral and economic leadership. The Platform Committee has become the scene of a pre-convention clash between supporters of President Ford and Ronald Reagan. Some Reagan delegates have refused to go along with plans to keep platform disputes to a minimum. On the other side of the fence, Democratic presidential nominee Jimmy Carter has begun a week of speechmaking. His schedule today calls for an address before the Public Citizens Forum in Washington. That's a consumer group started by Ralph Nader. This afternoon, Carter is to talk with congressional leaders and freshman congressmen. It's 1:40. I'm John McLeod, Key Radio, News 85. It's that time again, the time when Richardson Chevrolet starts lowering prices to move out of stock before the new season begins. For decades, Houstonians have taken advantage of this time to get into a really outstanding new Richardson Chevrolet. This year's no exception. We do have a large selection, a supermarket selection, right now for you to choose from, but it's not as large as in some years, so now's the time for you to come out to the Southwest Freeway at Hillcroft and check us out. Look over the tremendous array of models Richardson has this year. There's something to fit your need, whatever it may be, at Richardson. And right now, the deals just couldn't be better. We're open from 8 a.m. till 9 p.m., Monday through Saturday, just for you, so come on in and see us. The bicentennial celebration may be over, but here's something that will make you celebrate for years to come. Your beautiful new Richardson Chevrolet. Houston's weather calls for an air stagnation advisory remaining in effect. Otherwise, clear to partly sunny through tomorrow, continued hot in the afternoon, warm tonight, slight chance of rain late this afternoon and early tonight. Mostly east and southeast winds, 6 to 12 miles an hour. High this afternoon and tomorrow, mid-90s, low tonight in the low 70s, possibility of rain only 20% this afternoon and tonight. Boating and recreation entrance for Galveston Bay and vicinity, south wind 6 to 12 through Tuesday, bay water smooth to slightly choppy. Relative humidity is standing at 60%, winds out of the east at 8, barometric pressure is falling at 30.00. Sunny skies, 87 on the beach at Galveston, here in Houston, partly sunny, and 91 degrees. Updating the headlines from Key Radio News 85, four teenagers were killed and 17 injured in Corpus Christi today. The teenagers, leaving a dance, went to help an accident victim, and another car plowed into them. An 18-year-old man turned himself in to San Antonio police this morning in connection with the brutal slashing deaths of an 18-year-old girl whose body was found at an area called Lover's Lane. A Texas Railroad Commission official said today the panel has plans under which gas would be taken from other areas of the state if Lavaca Gathering Company goes bankrupt so the lights don't go out in many Texas communities. Texas Senator John Tower is one of a group of lawmakers the National Magazine says were slated to receive secret CIA campaign donations.
Flash a big picture of a bat on the night sky. Well, sometime back, somebody, somewhere, tried to flash advertising on the clouds, and that didn't work out very well. That's okay. As I said, where there is a will, etc. I was coming into the station earlier than usual this morning, to say the least. I got in here about 3 a.m., as a matter of fact, and I just left Loop 610, come onto the Southwest Freeway, heading in, when there is suddenly on the side of a building over to my left, blam, a giant sign advertising a motel. It lit up the night. It was being projected onto that building from the roof of a neighboring structure. I nearly went off the road. The sign blinked off and on came another one. It read, Sky Signs, call this number. So they finally have done it after all. Now this may be old stuff to you, maybe you've already seen it, but I hadn't seen it before. Call it what you will, it sure does grab your eye. I'll tell you, I'm just glad they weren't advertising King Kong.
If they'd have flashed a picture of a giant ape in color on that building in front of me at 3 o'clock in the morning, I would never have made it here at all. Well, that's only one way to look at it. Thank you. This is David Fowler.
E-Radio News Time, 1:45.
Now that the Oilers have lost their first two preseason games, the fans are not asking for scalps, but they have cut back just a little on their unbridled enthusiasm about the Oilers' chances this year. Should they feel apprehensive? I don't think so. Not this early in the ballgame. The offense that we saw on Saturday night in the Dome against the New Orleans Saints was by no means awesome, but many of the mistakes are curable, like jumping offside and getting caught holding at very inopportune times, like when the official is looking. Things that don't figure to happen that much once the season begins in earnest. As I said, long before this season began, the offense needs more consistency, and I pointed out with defense and the special teams led by Billy Whiteshoes contributed greatly to the Oilers' success last year, and I think they will again this year. The Saints team that the Oilers faced on Saturday night was the most porous defensive team in the National Football League last year. They gave up nearly 400 points during the regular season, giving up an average of about 27 a game, but the Oilers managed just 10. Not good? No, not very good. If you can recall, the Oilers' offense was a bit slow getting started last year, and the defense carried them over the hump. Now, this can happen again. It's happened with some very good teams, the Redskins, the Rams, the Vikings. So why not the Oilers? Now, if the defense was having trouble, then I'd be concerned. But we are very, very far from pushing the panic button today. This is Steve Gilmartin, Key Radio Sports.
For 35,000 fans at Yankee Stadium, Yankee outfielder Lou Piniella left home plate, went to the Orioles dugout, and challenged Baltimore manager Earl Weaver. Why?
Every time I go up to home plate, the man likes to agitate me, whistling and yelling, putting hedges on me and all that, while the guy is throwing the ball.
Why would Piniella be sensitive to barbering from the opposition? It happens to most players.
Sitting stuff enough, and if I make out, fine. If I don't, well, just leave me in peace.
So, Lou Piniella wants peace at the plate. He's not likely to get it. Fence jockeying is as old as the game itself.
Fence jockeying is fine. But not while a guy has the time to concentrate and hit. I don't mind if he gets on me before the ball game or after the ball game, or if I make a serious area in the error in the outfield or something. It's fine. But you know, when you're up there hitting, it's hard enough to hit a baseball without people bothering you. And I just let them know that the way I felt, and I just told them that I didn't particularly want this to happen the rest of the year.
Lou Piniella, sounding more like a golfer or a tennis player than a baseball player. Now that he's gone public with his thin skin and rabbit ears, he's likely to receive more flack than he knew existed. This is Shelby Whitfield.
On the financial scene, the board of directors of Zale Corporation, a Dallas-based national jewelry store chain, has voted to increase cash dividends on the company's common stock by 10%. President Donald Zale also says the corporation's board has postponed Zale's annual meeting of shareholders that was scheduled for August the 19th in Dallas. Dairy Queen Stores Incorporated has reported pre-tax earnings of more than $1.6 million on sales of $29 million for the 40-week period ending July the 6th. Dairy Queen Stores is the nation's largest owner-operator of Dairy Queens with 300 in Texas and Oklahoma. Graham Magnetics Incorporated of Graham, Texas, has announced unaudited net income of $1.1 million. Net sales were $16 million for the fiscal year ending June the 30th. Graham Magnetics is a manufacturer of computer tapes and related products. Second quarter and mid-year figures for the period ending June 30th have been released for Pan National Group Incorporated. That's an El Paso-based bank holding company. Quarterly net income for the three-month period was $874,000 compared with $695,000 for the same period last year. That works out to an increase of 25%. Telecom Corporation, a Houston-based holding company with major interests in trucking and investments, has announced a cash dividend of 7 cents a share. That's payable October the 15th. Telecom Corporation President John Gatti says that this is the second consecutive quarterly dividend declared. Halliburton Company at Dallas has completed the sale to M-Search Corporation of all of stock and, of Abasco Services Incorporated, a previous Halliburton subsidiary. The contract of sale was in compliance with a consent decree in antitrust litigation initiated in 1973 by the Department of Justice after Halliburton Company acquired Abasco Services.
When you waste energy, you waste money. Your money. Here are some ways you can cut costs on gasoline bills.
I grew up thinking I had to drive a car everywhere, but today I can't afford the gas.
so I ride the bus and stay.
Getting to and from my office cost me only a fourth as much. I joined a carpool with three other people.
I try to plan my trip, combine errands, cut down on unnecessary driving.
For more ideas on how you can save, write for a free booklet prepared by the Governor's Energy Advisory Council, Austin, Texas. Houston's weather. We still have that air stagnation advisory remaining in effect. Otherwise, clear to partly sunny through tomorrow. Continued hot in the afternoons, warm tonight. Slight chance of rain late this afternoon and early this evening. Mostly east and southeast winds, 6 to 12 miles per hour. High temperature this afternoon and Tuesday, mid-90s. Low tonight, low 70s. Possibility of rain, 20% this afternoon. That'll continue through tonight. Boating and recreation interest for Galveston Bay and vicinity calls for mostly south winds, 6 to 12 through Tuesday. Bay waters should be smooth to slightly choppy. Relative humidity is standing at 60%. Winds out of the east at 8. Barometric pressure is falling at 30.7 low. Sunny skies, 87 on the beach at Galveston. In Houston, partly sunny. And 91 degrees at T-Radio News 85.
Here he is, the man who tells Houston what you think is wrong with the world. Who put your gripes, beefs, and frustrations on the air. It's Mr. Soundoff, David Fowler.
Yes, yes, sir. And on a Monday, the first letter says, Mr. Soundoff, I've seen it all now. I was looking through some magazines and a magazine rack when I came across a special magazine all about and only about Jimmy Carter. It said on the front, special bicentennial edition. It looked like a movie magazine, had all kinds of glowing articles about...